are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder, where every day's casual Friday. That means Monday is casual Monday, Tuesday, casual Tuesday, Wednesday, casual hump day, Thursday, casual Thurs, that's what we call it, and Friday, casual Shabbat. The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Friday, February 26, 2016. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, it's Casual Friday. I almost, for a moment, was contemplating being the most dressed up I've ever been on the show by keeping the sport coat I had on when I came in just 2 minutes ago, racing back from MSNBC. But I said that would lack integrity. Can't be Casual Friday and me be the most dressed up I've ever been. So just wearing that shirt that I've had for 22 years.
It'd be unprofessional.
It would be unprofessional. Ladies and gentlemen, on Casual Friday, you know what that means. Cliff Schechter will be joining us. And, ladies and gentlemen, in an incredible treat, for those who have been listening to this program for years, Chris Rosen will join us to talk about the Oscars. Meanwhile, last night, the Republican debate proved that all you need is a junior high mentality and a lot of alcohol, and you can divine who won these debates.
That's why we've been doing such a good job with these. We're always drunk when we're covering them. We're like, Trump won! And everybody else is like, I don't really think that he was able to...
Meanwhile, in Flint, top Snyder aides had urged going back to Detroit water a year before the lead poisoning issue was revealed. Clinton now says she regrets the remark on super predators following the protest at her fundraiser. Another mass shooting in Kansas, 4 people dead, 14 others injured. Oh, and Lindsey Graham says that the Republican Party is batshit crazy.
We're all gonna die.
I did just get back from MSNBC, where there was some type of, we did like a little bit of, we did a little debate, post-debate, I guess a recap, as it were. And I was on with Michael Medved and Michael Steele. And Michael Medved, a very nice guy, very nice guy. A little weak.
Terrific guy.
Terrific guy.
Not much energy.
Not much energy. Looks literally like he's, like someone has drained the blood from his body. And he was good enough to have me in studio, I guess 10 years ago now, when I went on my book tour. Stephen Sherrill and I were in there. It was a little bit weird, but that's for another day. But that said, he asked
look
us...
Like
that,
he had blood in his
well,
body
he
back
asked
then?
Us, no, he asked us at the break if we were partners. And I said, yeah, we're co-authors. And he's like, no, are you partners? No, I mean, I like Stephen, and I just hadn't thought about it. I mean, we spent a lot of time together on the book, but it was just a weird assumption. on his part. Or I don't know. It was strange. But put that aside. And he was trying to argue that this was Marco Rubio's breakout moment. And I basically said, like, this was a joke. I mean, this was an absolute joke. And the biggest winners from this are anybody who comes out of the Democratic primary. Because, I mean, literally last night, I don't think Trump is hurt. Well, we're going to talk about it with Cliff. But the weird part was, so I just go on this sort of extended tirade, which I figure, you know, this is why I'm here, right? Is to basically say, hey, I just want to remind everybody that we can say like, oh, they got a good insult in on each other, but these are just morons. I mean, there was no, the biggest policy argument was whether or not we should let people die in the streets. And then they went to Michael Steele, and Michael Steele goes, yeah, I agree with Sam. This was an embarrassment for all of us. And this was, you know, there's no policy being talked here. And it occurred to me on the car ride back. I mean, because Michael Steele, there's moments where Michael Steele, he's a very smart guy.
Person.
He's a smart guy. But I noticed the other day that Rens Priebus said something that knocked Michael Steele. And then I also remember that I have a feeling that Michael Steele, you know, he advises some of these Republican candidates. And I have a feeling he's not advising anybody in there anymore. And the only one he has any respect for is Kasich. And so I think he knows, like, you know what? I'm a pundit now. Let this thing burn. But we're going to take a quick break. I don't know. That's my own speculation. I have no idea. He wasn't even studio. He was in...
Yeah, what the Christ.
Yeah, what the heck with
what
it.
What the heck, Margie. He needs more money than me, Neil, too.
We are going to put up, if we haven't already put up, the audio of the debate for members. And I think we'll get around to it for freebies over the weekend. Just because, man. Because members. Members. If you want to support the program, become a member today. Join themajorityreport.com. What we do is we give you things like we get you this stuff quicker, or we also give you an extra hour every day. Not today, we won't. Probably everybody will get the same amount. JustCoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code 10% off majority. You know what I mean. And also, if you buy crap from Amazon, buy it through our link at majorityreportkickback.com. Also, buy stuff from jet.com. Check it out. Try it once. Your first time off. First time up, you get 15% off jet.com. They'll deliver the stuff right to your door. And, you know, some people have a problem with Bezos. Either way, if you go to majorityreportkickback.com, we get a kickback. Hence, majorityreportkickback.com. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Cliff Schechter. Okay, folks, it is Casual Friday, and on Casual Fridays, what we like to do is we like to introduce this next guest by playing this, I think amongst many people around here, famous song.
Cliff Schechter, Libertas LLC, New Media, Public Relations, and Strategy. You want any of these services, you know who you gotta see. Cliff Schechter, LibertasLLC.com.
Yes, Cliff Schechter, LibertasLLC.com. How are you, Cliff? Oh, wait, let me try that again. How are you, Cliff?
I am doing well. How are you doing, Sammy?
I am doing quite well. I had a lot of fun last night, even though we had technical problems, which prevented us from streaming the video well. I don't know if it was YouTube's fault or what, but we got the audio. But even despite that, which usually ruins everything for me, I had a lot of fun just to watch that absolutely just disastrous debate that the Republicans had.
And I have to say, sexy manhood.
Yeah, and we did a great job. I mean, we really did. I mean, we love the debate. The debate loves us. I mean, we're fantastic. It's true.
I believe it.
It's really true.
And as I was saying to you before, I love it to a point that I think we should do this every year. I don't even care if there's a president picked at the end.
Right.
I just want these sort of 8 self-proclaimed biggest Republican assholes to agree to get up on stage and just insult each other, yell at each other, talk about whose weenie is bigger, and I build big things and walls and, you know, whatever else they can come up with, spray tan themselves and all the other fun stuff these guys do. I mean, I don't understand how one of these cable channels hasn't looked at this and been like, this is the best reality TV ever. The ratings have to be higher than Kardashian.
I am pretty sure they already have. I mean, I think that is, what we're seeing. I mean, I think the reason why you're seeing CNN do a 2.5 hour debate is for those ratings. I mean, we're going to sell the ads up front. We're going to sell. I mean, this has been a bonanza for these cable outlets that hold these debates. I mean, and then we got the opportunity to finally see last night where these guys stand on immigration and on people dying in the streets. That was really the big thing that came out. Is that?
And sometimes it's sort of a combination of the two.
Right. Well, I mean,
like it all, these guys. I mean, although this, it does remind me, I don't remember anymore, they all blend into each other. Was it 08, 12? I think it was 2012. Wasn't it? Well, that was the Ron Paul debate where it's like, yeah, you know, somebody dying on the side of the road. Hey, that's freedom, man. And I mean, I don't know why at this point somebody hasn't taken, I was doing it on Twitter for fun, but taking the term, at least the way they use it, use freedom and liberty and just turned it against them. Like, I mean, the whole religious liberty thing is such a crock, obviously. So basically, religious liberty is, you know, being able to persecute and ruin businesses, not ruin businesses, but persecute gay people and hurt their lives and, you know, say, my religion says this is okay. And, you know, and so I just think, you know, if that is freedom to them, we need to think of the rest. For example, if because they ignore the unbelievable festering gun problem in this country, which, by the way, has led to now another massacre, two in the last week, I guess that's oxygen liberty for you.
Right.
You know, they if you in the Republic, I mean, we already know they want you to have tax liberty in the Republican Party. In the end, I think it's all liberty. Women can have rights liberty when they have their abortion rights taken away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, these guys are just so full of crap, I guess is what I'm getting at. But what's new about that?
Well, the thing that interested me last night. I mean, look, there's two ways, right, in which you look at this when we're talking about a debate. One is sort of the, you know, and usually there's a mix of it, right? It's like showing like how does a potential leader do on a stage with other potential leaders, just in terms of how they get on, how much composure do they have? Do they feel like they're in over their heads? I mean, this stuff isn't probably the best assessment of whether someone's going to be a good president or not, but it's all that we have. And then the other thing ostensibly is that you want to give people an understanding of where they are in terms of their positions so that potential voters could say, like, hey, this guy or this woman's positions align with mine. And right. So this is and what's fascinating to me is that, you
Whereas
know,
in this case, it's you get together a couple of mentally ill ex-cons and come on stage. And I'm like, hey, let's see.
Yes.
Let's see what happens.
And to be fair, maybe future cons.
That's true.
But,
yeah, that's a good point.
But there is, you know, we're 10 debates into this now. There is not a, maybe there was one or two questions last night that were a little bit more pointed. Like, you know, I actually thought the reporter from the Telemundo outlet was exceptional because, you know, we've heard so much about immigration.
In restraint,
in restraint, but also in terms of just digging in and really making them own their positions. But beyond that, you know, like, there, nothing about this shooting. Like, don't you, do you have any, nothing about, nothing about.
And that's happened with the last two of these debates. You know, they've now taken place around major. There was one in Kalamazoo, and now we have this. And we again, there's, if there's bigger headlines going on, and it's not something, again, it's sort of like the news value of things are that they actually are new, right? That's where the word news comes from. And this is, there's nothing new going on here. So it's lost its value. It has to be a reporter on TV or kids at school, and right, a large number of them at this point, because if it's even just a couple kids, that's no big deal. I mean, seriously, I mean, that's the way it's looked at now. And that's just so sad.
But there also seems to be a determined effort by the cable outlets to maintain a very narrow issue set. I mean,
I agree. I mean, absolutely. I guess the only point I'm making is they will maintain that narrow issue set unless their hand is forced.
Right.
Right. I mean, if we had something like what happened to Gabby Giffords, where a member of Congress were shot, they would have to do something.
Right.
I think. You know what I mean? But if it's just a run-of-the-mill, you know, come on, just four kids shot at a school? Well, you know, that's nothing out of the ordinary.
Well, they
anymore.
Also don't want to put the Republican candidates on the spot with their to force them to defend their gun positions in that context. And so that's why it never comes up except for when.
Well, they might get mad then, and then the RNC under
exactly
that weird named guy might refuse to have another.
But all that was left there. All that was left last night was literally like stuff that I went through in junior high. Now, to be fair, I'm also, you know, emotionally immature. And so I probably did this through my early 30s. But I was not
what
in the
did you do through your early 30s.
Just make fun of other people in a sort of like a competitive way. And
gotcha.
And now it wasn't for
you're a comedian though. Didn't you kind of make fun
that's
of people
right.
for a living?
That's right. Yes. And so and it was usually other comedians and it was a little bit you know sort of beta. There was a little bit of our alpha beta you know type of stuff going on with that. But it wasn't to determine which one of us was going to be the nominee of a major party to be president. And
well, there's a difference in general between when people are getting up, and again, that sort of goes back to the blurring of all lines between, you know, what is entertainment and what is politics, which is supposed to be at least a somewhat different realm where we make where we make more serious decisions. Yeah, as a comedian, you're supposed to do that. As a reality show host, Donald Trump can get up and make stupid jokes or obnoxious jokes. And, you know, as a radio personality, Herman Cain, you know, to think of one, or Mike Huckabee or others who've gone back and forth between, you know, being personalities of sorts and running for the president can do that stuff. But you're supposed to sort of have a different level of decorum when you're running for president. I mean, at least you'd hope so. And obviously that doesn't exist on the right because the whole it's blended together in general, but obviously much more on the right. I mean, the right, it's hysterical if you think about it, because they decry and just hate Hollywood because of the money that goes to much more heavily going to progressives and the rest. But the truth is that they're the ones, you know, which in so many other ways it would befit their education levels and their complete ignorance in what they do, that they're the ones that are complete cult of personality types. I mean, they're looking for a daddy figure, and Trump's the guy now, and it was Reagan before, and I mean, it's you generally people who are the best at acting, you know, like the part that you give them. Reagan put on the Marlboro Man stuff and rode his horse, and of course, you know, that's what George W. Bush did too. He got his ranch, and he played the, I mean, they're looking for a certain type. They're looking basically for the Marlboro Man.
Right. That's
what they're looking for. And that's and so it's I would say that it's blended together. Obviously, the most it has at least up until this point. I'm not sure what the future holds. Maybe we'll have we had the person who ran the WWFE running for the Senate from Connecticut, or the wife of the person, or I think they both co-ran it. So what's to say? Maybe we'll have a WWF wrestler next. I guess we had Jesse Ventura for governor, so we could have somebody for president. I mean, I'm not sure how much more they can debase it, but I'm sure they'll find a way. You know, they always do. They find a way always to go below whatever you set the bar at.
Yeah, and it's true, and it becomes normalized. I mean, right now, you know, there's this sort of sense of like, yeah, okay, yeah, of course, Donald Trump is still one of the contenders, and in fact, the leading contender for the Republican primary, and in fact, maybe even arguably the crowned nominee,
yeah.
And you know. the idea of just Mitt Romney going and kissing his ring in 2012 was just laugh out loud. I mean, literally laugh out loud. I'm sure there are videos of me laughing and mocking the fact that Mitt Romney would even go and get his endorsement. Never mind actually this guy running. Sorry, there's two pieces of sound that I want to play that I think are relevant.
Sure.
One is, you know, because we now have to analyze in the context of this, like, you know, what is going to work in terms of the personal insults. But I want to just make this clear, and I want people to be aware of this. There is no policy debates going on. The Republican Party, I don't know what percentage, maybe 30% at least 30% doesn't give a crap about their policy positions. Maybe that's even low. And this is
I think that's low.
Function.
And I think you're also getting into the territory of, you know, there's a certain number that just don't even care and don't pay any attention, but there's a much bigger number. You start broadening the Venn diagram where it overlaps with people who say they care about the policy positions but don't actually understand what they are.
It is tribal.
And then there's
tribal.
Even a bigger number
it's
where you
tribal.
Add to that who understand what they are but have been completely tricked into thinking certain things like supply-side economics work.
Well,
so by the time you're done with all of those...
Look, we have we have those last two categories on the left. But I'm quite convinced that the number of voters who vote in a Democratic primary where it's strictly tribalism, in other words, and it's
right.
strictly like, and I mean like, I like I'm almost not even human tribalism, like ape tribalism, like
really
just
is.
The fact
I
that Trump is up there
apes,
and has a bigger hand and is swatting it at Rubio is actually, I think, like driving a lot of this for them. And
he's like a peacock showing his feathers.
Indeed. And I think, you know, I think that Trump could come out tomorrow and adopt every single one of Marco Rubio's policies or talking points. And Marco Rubio could adopt every single one of Trump's and nothing would change. Nothing would change.
No, it's a display like that. Well, and let me answer what you're saying before. Yeah, those other two groups exist in the Democratic Party. I'm not certainly saying that there aren't people who are sort of ignorant of policy in the Democratic Party who don't pay attention. But first of all, any survey you see, and you'll see where the best educated voters are overall, right? I mean, we've gone through plenty of this stuff on the people watching Fox being the most misinformed
right.
and all of this. I mean, obviously, so the right is a much worse set of policies. And second of all, look, it's a bigger deal in a democracy when you're in a situation that you know is I mean, for lack of a better term, is so out of whack right now, because the truth is that the far most left option right now is what's considered almost centrist in Europe. All right, so nothing dangerous. It's not like there's a Stalinist party on the far left. All right, nothing dangerous is going to happen from people on the left not necessarily knowing what the policies are. Nobody's proposing anything. They're held accountable by all sorts of people who have economic interests in holding them accountable.
Right.
On the Republican side, however, where we've gone, you know, we've fallen off the end of the earth, the flat earth, so to speak. I mean, they're approaching fascism, and in some ways have gotten there. I mean, the Muslim talk about that came from Trump, but really it's come from dozens of House and Senate members in the Republican Party. It's also come from other presidential candidates. That's fascist. You know, you get to the point where you're picking an out group and you're saying you're going to separate them somehow, limit them somehow in any way. You can call it what you want. We can kind of try to dress it up and not use the F word, but that's what it is, if you want to be accurate. And so that's the thing. Although I'll say, you know, thinking about what he said about the wall and the, some of the rhetoric.
He wanted to add an extra 10 feet to the wall.
Was that Vincente Fox response
yeah.
not just the best thing of all time?
Yes. And Trump's response was, I'm going to add another 10 feet to the wall. I mean, if you want to know, honestly, like if you want to know everything there is to know about policy, it's like, I'm going to add another 10 feet to the wall. Now, obviously, he's sort of joking. But I actually think that triggers. But he's sort of not.
He's not going to have an engineer come in and people come in with cost estimates and what's realistic and contractors. It's just, I don't mean to interrupt, Sam, but I'll say it quickly. That's the thing that gets me the angriest of all, because after the debate was over and they're having these conversations among the pundits who were on there, and then they're inviting some of the candidates on. Like, you know, Wolf Blitzer is sitting there with Anderson Cooper and Jake Tapp or whatever, and they're discussing this whole wall thing like it's an actual real policy. They're
right.
treating it that way.
And
like, this isn't just some crap you say.
But it's beyond that. It's beyond that too, insofar as Trump is basically admitting, like, look, the first couple of feet of that wall are just built on resentment and just, you know, just really just like
on the bones
like
of our enemies.
Grievance and there's no substantial reason for the wall other than it just is a signifier. So I could add another 10 feet to that wall if this guy's going to use the F word in reference to what I say. And so that's actually a rational response within that worldview. And that's why it's going to help him. And I will say this. So we, just getting back
you
to that
put
point about
on their wall, he should just respond like that.
Just getting back to that point about the lack of policy here. It is to be expected on some level because the conservative project is fundamentally the destruction of government and just the idea that we can act as a collective in some fashion, as society, as government, however you want to talk about it. That we can act collectively to improve the lot of the planet or ourselves, we even should. And so it's not a surprise on some level that there's no interest in policy, but it's interesting to see it laid bare. Now, so with that predicate set, all that's left is this sort of notion of like, you know, which one of these apes is going to be dominant, you know, that we're looking at, you know, as we're all Jane Goodall here and we're just looking and seeing which one's going to be the dominant one. And here is the one thing.
But Jane Goodall, the people who are actually there watching these Republican debates clapping over some of these things are the other.
Are the other apes. Yeah, they're the other apes, the smaller apes who know
the ones that
they
don't know how to perform quite as well.
Yeah, they're the ones who are just waiting to see who their leader's going to be. So on that level,
they don't have quite as good an arm to fling poo.
Right. On that level, here is and all right, to be fair, yes, Goodall found the apes to be a lot more sensitive and intelligent. So I don't want to malign apes. I'm just talking about a dynamic here. So okay, with that
they're
said,
be our masters in the future.
Here is the one
they
thing.
They'll hold this against you.
Now, here's the one thing that I think Rubio did during the debate that will actually could have some resonance if he continues this line of attack. Now, there was a story by Sam Stein in the Huffington Post, I think it was yesterday, saying that none of the Republican campaigns had done any oppo research, legitimate, deep oppo research on Donald Trump until
me say this as somebody who works on campaigns. It's amazing to me how many people who are so dumb. I mean, if that's the right word, but I mean, who just can't seem to learn, who don't understand how any of this stuff works, keep working on campaigns and keep getting promoted. Because it's part of it is, you know, if you're going to go up against someone like Donald Trump, who's had all these sort of, well, you can guess, very, very mixed at best business dealings with all these things that have gone on, to not do oppo is a crime to begin with.
So, okay.
Second of all, I'll just say quickly, the messaging aspect of it, it's almost like you have to understand some things about who it is you're appealing to and basic psychology and whatever. And so not seeing for a while now, like anybody with any common sense can see that what was going on here was Trump was a phenomenon that was based around cult of personality and alpha male and, you know, put whatever you want behind it and not positions. It's saying, well, he gave money to Hillary Clinton, wasn't going to work. Saying he was liberal in the past wasn't going to work. And they're still trying it. Ted Cruz is still doing that. And it's proven it never works. It's Rubio, as you're saying, who brought the first, you know, the first lines that they should have brought. I mean, a few people went after his bankruptcies. I don't know if it was Carly Fiorina. I'm trying to remember who. But then they stopped. You want to hurt this guy, you got to go after him and get under his skin where he's trying to project strength. You've got to question his con man
exactly.
Trump University. And you've got to question
exactly.
His image as a leader and his bankruptcies and that he, you know, I mean, how they weren't mocking him constantly the way they did last night for daddy leaving him his inheritance. That's the kind of thing that will make this guy blow up. And, you know, I was saying this kind of stuff way back when. I don't think that makes me a genius. I think it's pretty
well,
common
sense. Well, here's the thing. Okay, the idea that we just heard about this Trump University thing in the past couple of days, and it was only because it's been dug up by reporters, that usually what happens, I should just tell people, I mean, you know this, that usually campaigns go and they dedicate a significant amount of money to do deep research, not just search the web, but actually send people to the courthouses to get the documents that you have to get in person. I mean, all this. And so
you do
the
it
Democrats.
All. Tax documents, you go right. and you find if there's memoirs, right. brought, you go into library files. Right. I mean, you do the, all this stuff.
The
and,
Democrats, and you, according to yeah. this piece, had already started this like 6 months ago. The Republicans didn't do it. And here's why. And this is what is so, what I love about this. The Republicans didn't do it because they all found it in their best interest not to. And so the fundamental building block of the conservative sort of perspective on the way society works, that if each individual operates in their own self-interest, it's better for the collective good. They have just fried themselves because of it. And apparently...
Ayn Rand just bit you guys right in your ass. All right. I mean, no, I mean,
it's true.
That's so true.
Here is Rubio getting close to that. And, you know, I think it's too little too late, but it's
definitely too. I mean,
here's number five. And, let's listen to this clip.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Here's a guy that buys a house for $179,000. He sells it to a lobbyist who's probably here for $380,000. And then legislation is passed. You tell me about this guy. This is what we're going to have.
Here's the guy that inherited $200 million. If he hadn't inherited $200 million, you know where Donald Trump would be right now?
No.
Selling watches in Manhattan.
I'm wrong.
That's so wrong.
We'll work on that. I took $1 million and I turned it into $10 billion. I borrowed $1 million.
Then release the tax return so we can see how much money he makes.
I borrowed $1 million. I turned it into $10 billion, more than $10 billion.
Isn't that awesome?
I love it. I borrowed only $1 million.
Right. How does that sound to most normal people? It was only $1 million. It was like Mitt Romney. Because these guys lose such perspective. Like Mitt Romney's like, I only made a little bit of income. What are you talking about from my speeches? It was like $375,000 or something.
Right.
Yeah, when you make $20 million a year, $375,000 is just a little bit. But they lose such perspective, and that's the thing that just gets me. It's like he dressed these guys down and went after each of their insecurities one after another. And it's the clearest thing about his bravado and all the stuff he does is when it comes to – when it comes to both how he sees his prowess as a male and how he sees his finances, it's so easy. I mean, they could have mocked him for his wife, you know, when he broke up with his wives for them leaving him because he was an old hag and gotten under his skin. They could have gone after his appearance and gotten under his skin. They could have gone after, I mean, and am I saying this is the stuff of dignified presidential campaigns? No. Should it be this way? No, but it is.
But I think you hit the nail on the head with the con man thing.
And the financial stuff.
I think the Trump University stuff, and I have a feeling there's a lot more stuff like that.
Oh,
I think
God.
That is because, look, what you're basically saying is
Trump
this
vodka.
Is the guy in
I mean,
that what's that play the when the guy
you know
comes
the Trump
Oklahoma
story,
is that
right?
it
I mean,
like the medicine the guy comes around he's like the singing cabaret guy and he's well that's the I guess it's the like gosh I can't remember what it is now but it's you want to basically say this is a snake oil salesman because
right.
everybody
this
has bought
in. He's a pampered baby who inherited everything he got from daddy and needs to put his name up on everything to make
I
him
don't
feel like
know
a big
if that even
loser.
Does it. I think it's just the Trump that you see, he's playing you. That's the only way you get there with this guy because people have already bought in. The only way you undercut this guy is if you say, like, he's deceiving you. He's tricking you. And here's
right.
evidence. He's tricked you before. He tricked you
and it's a
with,
twofer,
the with the Trump
you
University.
If you put enough evidence out there, maybe you convince some people, but you also get under his skin to where he loses it and says things like, I only borrowed $1 million.
Yeah.
And so that further reinforces. I mean, it's the only way they could have ever gone at him. And to watch one after the other flail and fail to do that, you know, it just makes you shake your head. It's unbelievable. But and I'll say quickly, I mean, I don't think there is any chance at this point because, as you know, these narratives before they take hold in the mainstream media, before they start being driven in even local stories and local press and places where people get their information, generally take after a big event like this to really do polling and see a switch. It takes at least a week and a half to 2 weeks. They don't have that.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
I mean, they don't have it. So I don't, because it's just not going to happen. Will Rubio, what he did, maybe change some minds here and there? Yeah, but they just don't have the time. But here's the other thing.
I mean, so let's talk about this. I mean, I don't want to, there was a piece up in Huffington Post again about, I had this conversation with a Times reporter on Hayes the other night where they're like, you know, Trump could win. He could carry the Rust Belt. And I think, you know, I want to get your take on that. Here is Donald Trump. Before we do, here's Donald Trump telling Ted Cruz that he has the best chance of beating Hillary Clinton. This is really, you know, from our perspective, this is the question. You know, the idea of Rubio or Cruz actually getting up in front with either one of the Democratic candidates is just laughable to me. I mean, these guys, just their positions alone, they're going to have to account for. But let's listen to. But Donald Trump is, I would concede, is a bit of a wild card. But let's listen to this clip here. This is number four.
I'm beating him awfully badly in the polls.
But you're not beating Hillary. So you're not beating Hillary.
Well, then if I can't beat her, you're really going to get killed, aren't you? So let me ask you this, because you're really getting beaten badly. I know you're embarrassed. I know you're embarrassed. But keep fighting. Keep swinging, man. Swing for the fences. Let me just tell you. The Trump University case is a civil case, it's a civil case. It's a case where people want to try and get. It's a case that is nonsense. It's something I could have settled many times. I could settle it right now for very little money, but I don't want to do it out of principle. The people that took the course all signed signed report cards saying it was fantastic, it was wonderful, it was beautiful. And believe me, I'll win that case. That's an easy case.
There you go. So there he is. He's going to win that case, and he's going to beat Hillary. He's better than those two. And I have to say, I mean, just going back again to the whole APA thing, just the idea that you've got the media reporting like Cruz and Rubio ganged up on Trump and really landed some blows. You've just said it takes two of them to go after one of him. And that's all that the Trump supporters need. It's like, it would take two of these guys. Like, there's only one Putin.
The only thing I will disagree with you on slightly is, you never know. I think Rubio is would be a little bit of a wild card in that he would get the Republican establishment and the Koch brothers both all pumped at the same time. And when he's speaking, the debates are definitely tough. But when he's as an orator, he's got a lot of charisma and he's a very good speaker. And so I could see him having some benefits, having some advantages. And obviously he's from Florida too. I'm not saying I think he'd beat Hillary, but I think at least you could argue he could have a shot. The one who I always wanted was Ted Cruz because, you know, I mean, they've had psychologists who've already looked at this guy by the way he presents himself and said, yeah, human beings are predisposed to not like him immediately. He looks sneaky. And I mean, I'll find that article and send it to you. It's pretty, I might have already done that.
Which is why he's polling, 20 to 25% in the Republican Party right now.
Right.
Because they're.
So,
but
Trump, I mean, I didn't see the segment you're talking about, but I've said this already. Living in Ohio, I mean, and being a white guy, I don't understand it as well. Someone who was born out here, and obviously I was born in a pretty big city in New York, so it's a little different. But being out here as long as I have been, in parts of Ohio, parts of Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, you know, where the mentality is,
Michigan 75% white, Pennsylvania 77% white, 80% of Ohio is white, 82% of Wisconsin is white, and you know voice of white aggrievement.
What we're lacking in Ohio. Uniquely, also on top of all that, Ohio matches the rest of the country pretty well in demographics, but the one group where we're way below is Hispanics, which would be the group obviously most predisposed to vote against Trump. So, you know, a place like Ohio is worrisome. If the Democrats, whether it's Hillary or Bernie, can't make an argument here that resonates with white men here. It's almost like what would I call it? You know, like an elixir of some sort. White men who are angry, feel like they're powerless, respond to talk like Trump's. And it goes beyond issues. It is tribal, particularly out here in places where they feel like they've been forgotten. I'm just saying that people, it would be a mistake to take Trump and say he can't win. because he may now, at the same time, it may lead Florida and, you know, like Nevada to be much more strongly Democratic mm-hmm. because of the Hispanic vote going so heavily against Trump. It might even put Arizona in play, for example. It might, you know, something like that. So there's certain ways that Trump would hurt them. But you know, even if Arizona is more in play and Georgia maybe is a little more in play because of the Hispanic vote, Ohio and Pennsylvania, obviously, that's a pretty dangerous combo of states that you could be looking at that could also be more in play. I mean, Wisconsin, you can afford to lose. It's not as big, right? But Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and I would even go and say Iowa, too. I mean, so it's concerning, and I hope they understand it. I hope that Bernie right now has got the best rhetoric to match with Trump in terms of, because he talks about trade. If it's Hillary, she really has to do something, and I mean, what I would say is right away is she needs to pick Sherrod Brown as her VP because you need someone who's been talking about trade. You need someone who can be out there and appeals to white guys in the same way and has been just as tough on trade and you know, and standing up in terms of jobs and keeping them in this country and that kind of stuff, and that's Sherrod Brown all through.
But do you want to give up that Senate seat from Ohio? That's the only problem there, right? Because
of course I don't. But more worrisome to me is the presidency. I mean, that is what I care about first and foremost. And you know, at least we've got a bench in 2018. No, I don't want to give it up because Sherrod Brown's 63. You know, which means in 18 he'll be 65. I mean, in Senate years he could be there four more terms.
Right.
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 But at the same time, I mean, you know, if it's a choice of the presidency, I mean, look, there's probably other guys who are out there, too. I mean, who have at least somewhat of a populist bent to them and are in key swing states who Hillary Clinton can find. But I think that's what you're going to need. If Trump's a nominee, it you know, do you double down and say, I'm going to pick, you know, someone like one of the Castro brothers and really go after the Hispanic vote? Or do you say to yourself, he's going to so alienate them that you really want to make sure that you just don't wholesale lose working white men?
Right.
I guess that's a strategic decision to be made. I would go with the working white. I mean, we're just talking just politically, because obviously, as a guy who believes in diversity, I'd love to have somebody Hispanic who could rise up to the top level. But the most dangerous thing to me is worrying about that over making sure this guy isn't elected. So, you know, I don't know Tim Kaine's politics well enough.
Right.
I know Mark Warner's a new Dem who won't give you any of that. Maybe Tim Kaine gives you some of that. Maybe there's others I'm not thinking about in swing states, but certainly Sherrod Brown does. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting. And one just hopes that, you know, both campaigns, you know, to a certain extent, have somebody sitting in a back room sort of gaming this stuff out on some level at this point. I mean, obviously they're involved in a heated primary, and, you know, Tuesday's Saturday night is a big night, but I mean, there's an expectation that Clinton is going to win South Carolina.
Right.
Saturday night's tomorrow.
Well, it looks pretty big for, I mean, basically there's a way Bernie can win this still. I mean, I certainly he's in a tough situation, but at this point he's pretty much written off South Carolina from what I can tell.
Right.
He should,
because me too.
The African American vote is very, very large. Moderate white vote's large, and those are the two groups he's doing worst among. But if you look at it, you can see that on Super Tuesday, we've got, I think, caucuses in Colorado and Minnesota. You've got Vermont, obviously, is going to go to him, so let's not even bother with that. But so to me, he needs Massachusetts. He needs to win. I mean, as a delegate game, he really needs to go after both Colorado and Minnesota. And I think, you know, what polls are showing also, because it's a much lower minority population, African-American population, is Oklahoma, which may shock people. But the Democratic part of Oklahoma is actually quite progressive.
Yeah.
You don't have a huge minority population. If he could, you know, pull in Oklahoma, if he could win in a surprise place like that and take those caucuses and then hold Massachusetts, I think, you know, I mean, obviously that's somewhat of a tall order, but I think he could even lose one of those. And if he could win in four places, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think he's in it still.
Well, we'll get a better sense of that. And of course, on Tuesday, the Republicans in almost all those same states, I guess all of them, you know, Virginia, Vermont, Texas, Tennessee, Oklahoma, Minnesota, Massachusetts, Georgia, Colorado, Alaska.
And let me say quickly, I know you're going to kick me off in a second, but interestingly playing out on the Republican side when you're mentioning all of these states is that, you know, what happens, first of all, we have to see what happens in Texas with Cruz. Because in an ironic way, Cruz and Rubio can help each other. Because if Cruz can win in Texas and can win in Arkansas, where I believe he's still either tied or ahead of Trump, and then Rubio is in a few places where he's doing better, yeah. Because of you know, various factors, well, you know, especially D.C. Like he's doing well in Virginia, obviously Northern Virginia, where he's heavily advertising. You're talking about a lot of D.C. Republicans, and he's the establishment choice at this point. So if he could win a Virginia and somehow pull out of Georgia, I think because the expectations are such for Trump at this point that if they could win a combined 4 or 5 and Trump weren't just to sweep the night, then I think this thing goes on.
Yep. And then, of course, it sounds like your boy Kasich is not going to leave until you get to Michigan and Ohio. And
yeah,
you know,
that
and the good news is there is that, you know, that is going to, you got to think that Kasich is going to go right at Trump, right, to win those states. And the way that he's going to do it is he's going to basically give the game plan for the Democrat.
You know, it's funny. I'll say quickly, your thing on that was so right, Sam. It's so perfect, right, because it matches their ideology, which I really think is awesome, is that what you're pointing out about how they view self-interest in terms of themselves and whatever. And you saw it again last night because Kasich is still trying to keep this facade that he's like this positive guy. This is not the guy who we all know. He's a cranky, negative guy, not quite on a Chris Christie level, but he called a cop an idiot. And, he, you know, he's gotten in trouble, all sorts of trouble, for fighting with people in this state. He's not the guy he's portraying himself as, is what I'm trying to say. He's neither moderate nor likable, if you get to know him better. So the funny thing is that he thinks that that is in his self-interest right now, while there's all these guys still in the race, to have him be that guy who gets to say, oh, look at the food fight, and this is why Americans don't like this. Meanwhile, what he should be doing, if he really wants to hold on in Ohio and Michigan, is going after Trump.
Yep.
He may not think it's in his self-interest right now, but these guys always look at their short-term self-interest. He's got to think longer-term self-interest, but he won't, because they all just think about what's good for them, like the next day.
Well, he doesn't want to get devastated. He doesn't want to be made a laughingstock before the race has moved north and it's time for him to do it. So, good. I love it. This is Michael Steele. Like I said, I was on MSNBC with Michael Steele this morning, and I said this thing was like watching a bunch of junior high kids debate each other. And he said, you know, I think that's absolutely right. And he went on to express regret. I didn't have a chance to come back with like, oh, I should tell you that this met all of my expectations and hopes, and I couldn't be less disappointed with what I saw last
this morning.
Yes, I've been busy.
Were you on with Big Joe?
No. I was on with Tamron Hall. No.
Okay, I feel a little better. I thought maybe you were sharing a cup of Joe with Morning Joe.
That wouldn't have gone so well.
Talking Trump, and you know.
No, that wouldn't go on. But
I'm giving you a hard time.
But Tamron did talk to me beforehand and said she would take it easy.
No, Tamron Hall's great.
She said she would take it easy on me.
All right. Cool, man.
Cliffy, as always, a pleasure. Talk to you soon.
Thanks so much. Take care.
Bye-bye. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break. As you know, and I didn't even know this, but the Oscars exist, and they are happening shortly, soon. And so who better than to bring back Chris Rosen? Now, you're going to have to go deep into the archives, folks. If you don't know who Chris Rosen is, you got to go back deep. He used to be our regular film guy, and it all fell apart when we found out that he wasn't actually a movie critic. For a long time, he sort of projected that he was. And then it turned out, no, he just was like writing, I don't know. We'll talk to him about it. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this with Chris Rosen.
Not in sight.
All right, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Folks, we got to go so deep into the archives just to get this theme song. This thing is like we took it out of a time capsule, and we're looking at it, and it's going to be outdated, but he'll be here in a moment to update it for us. Here's the theme song.
Kristen Rosen of MovieLine.com.
That makes me a movie phone.
Big shot senior editor.
Vertical editor.
Here is your theme song. You sit in a dimly lit room watching movies and you dress like a slob.
I'm actually in an office now.
Jimmy Reefer Cakes got to ask you, said, man, how'd you get that job? I said, how did you get that job?
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the namesake, the muse of that of that intro song is with us now, ladies and gentlemen. It has been, well, probably at least a year. Probably it was the last Oscars. Chris Rosen, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Sam. I'm so thrilled to be back. I have so many updates to that song.
Yes. Now we should say that we have almost an entirely new crew here. Michael seems to have, I don't know, he's going out texting somebody. I don't know where he's gone. But we have a new Matt and a classic Kelly now that is here. So just give them a sense of what have you been doing since you were at Movie Line? Now, we know you've been on the show when you were at Huffington Post.
Right. So I went from Movie Line to Movie Phone. The Huffington Post, MoviePhone and Huffington Post were both owned by AOL. But now I've left Huffington Post. Last year I left, and now I'm at the great Entertainment Weekly.
Wow.
Which you might read as a magazine. I am the editor of the website. We're doing a lot of great things. Very excited for the Oscars here on EW.com.
Now, wait, you're the editor of the entire website?
The whole website. And I've got a desk and I'm in an office, you know. The song obviously has mentioned that as well, so it's great.
Wow! And so you wait now. Yeah. Now, Kelly, what do you make of this? What are you not listening to the show? You got to talk into the mic.
I was looking. He's the at editor our Facebook of Facebook analytics.
Oh, he's the editor of EntertainmentWeekly.com.
Wait, what?
Chris,
wait, what's your title, Chris?
He's the
editor of EntertainmentWeekly.com.
Your title is just editor?
Yeah.
Oh.
This seems a little suspect, doesn't it?
No. Actually, that is increasingly common practice to just call people
how
editor.
How many editors
it means that
are
he's the
there,
editor
Chris?
In chief. You're the editor-in-chief.
Are you the editor
in chief? Well, no, the editor in chief is the editor in chief of the magazine, Henry Goldblatt, but I am the editor of the website.
Right, okay. But you are the number one person at the website.
Yes.
And then there's a deputy editor, and then it goes on from there. The people in their own, like,
Kelly
verticals.
Understands these things with verticals and whatnot, so.
Yeah, we have vertical, you know, digital editors. It's a whole structure. It's like a pyramid, basically. But, you know, very exciting. A lot of good stuff.
Now, wait a second. Am I to believe that you're at the top of this pyramid?
For the website, yeah.
For the website. You keep saying that as if it's like a qualifier. Like, what website? The EW.com website. There's not like a sub
Correct.
Website. Like,
no.
EWX.com is not like a sub brand or something.
No. And it's so, EW.com.
And so, and you're actually in an office. So are you managing people?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I was managing people at the Huffington Post.
He's everyone's boss. He's everyone that works on the website's boss.
Wow. And so what is going on? Why do you keep getting fired from all these places?
No, nobody's getting fired. I'm getting new opportunities to go, and people are coming to me with offers.
So in other words, so in this case, there's a lot of like when one door shuts, another one opens.
No doors are shutting. All the doors are staying open. I'm just moving through a different door.
So you're basically turning around and biting the hand that's been feeding you.
No, that's not true at all. I love him on very good terms with Huffington Post.
All right, if you say so. I mean, I'm not saying that's not the case, but it's just, it's a little.
I mean, what have you heard?
Well, I just, you know, one of the things that I've learned when I'm looking to hire somebody is like, I look at their resume and go, why have they been moving around so much? What's going on?
I haven't moved
these
around at all. I've been having this for 4 years.
He doesn't even read resumes. I can tell you that from personal experience.
I review resumes
just
on a regular basis.
Looks at it.
I didn't even know what a resume was if you saw a resume.
Did you, this past holiday season, did you receive an aromatherapy candle from Arianna Huffington?
No, I wasn't. Ooh, I wasn't okay. Working there this past holiday
well,
season.
Well, I wasn't either.
Can I?
And you got an aromatherapy candle?
Well, I got a massage coupon.
Whoa. What's working is their free,
for a free massage given by an aromatherapy.
Wait, can I just say...
Hold on. Kelly has more to say about this.
Nice way, nice tone of voice, Sam.
No, I didn't mean it that way.
No, I heard some hot gossip about EW.com.
Let's hear it.
I heard that Kelly Conley is one of the best employees that has ever worked anywhere, ever.
Kelly Conley is a very good employee that we have here at EW.com.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's true then. Okay, confirmed. Thank you.
Wow, there you go. This is that's great stuff. Well, hold on for 1 second. You should have said something to me because I would have done
this.
It's
kind of insidery. Yeah.
Yeah, just kind of. Just kind of insidery. All right. Now, Chris Rosen.
We'll edit this out later, right, Sam?
Right. It'll now, what are you doing there? Like, what do you do? Do you actually write
I'm
anything?
I'm busy. I'm editing posts. I'm assigning things. It's a very long day. You know, the entertainment news never stops. Oscars are a huge deal for us. We've got a ton of coverage planned. You know.
Do you know the names of the best pictures?
Yes.
Okay, I'm just asking just because, you know, we had this problem in the past when you were our
where
regular...
you would be like, oh, and I have not seen the movie. So I've actually seen all the movies.
Okay,
and I
you've
have
actually
very,
seen
like
all
very...
the Oscars this time?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, you're getting serious. I guess maybe as you get on in years, you start to realize, like, you got to deliver if you're going to work at
this.
You got to
work hard in this job, you know?
That's right. Okay. So we got, my understanding is that for Best Picture, there's The Big Short. This is a movie that I actually did see that was ostensibly about the 2008 crisis, financial crisis. I had a little bit of a problem with it because it didn't actually show the malfeasance as opposed to just ignorance, but put that aside. Bridge of Spies, never heard of it. Brooklyn, I've heard of it, but The City. Mad Max Fury Road.
Burrow.
I went to with my wife for our anniversary, but she bought tickets to the 3D. I couldn't fit them over my glasses, so I saw the one with
I can't
John
see
Cusack.
Too good, too. I got to go to the Beach Boys
The Martian.
Movie. Hello?
The Martian I saw. I can't believe that was nominated for Best Picture. The Revenant, I've heard about. Room, no. Spotlight, no. So, you tell me.
okay. Well, I think The Revenant is going to win Best Picture.
The Revenant? Why?
Yes, but I think because it's one, it's, you know, it's got a lot of buzz building. It won Alejandro Iñárritu is the director. He won at the Directors Guild Awards.
Wait, basically, what's his
then,
name again?
A bunch of precursor awards.
What's his name?
Do you want me to tell you about this or no?
What?
It's
yeah,
Alejandro Alejandro Iñárritu. He won last year for Birdman. You remember Birdman? We talked about last year.
Overrated.
No, it was so good.
Overrated.
That's what you think about life.
No, well, Revenant. Well, why don't you tell us what the Revenant is? You're just giving us the buzz. Why not? Is there no critique?
Of course you did, Michael.
What did you think of the
Revenant? Revenant is basically a survival tale. Leonardo DiCaprio gets left for dead in the forest by his band of compatriots in the 1800s, the frontiersmen. And he basically then walks through the woods for 2 hours to get revenge on the guy who left him.
This is exactly like The Martian, isn't it?
It's
that's like the exact
Martian,
same
actually,
story.
Sure, but not it's not really the same story. But yeah, sure. Single guy, alone in the elements.
Left by his compatriots, although in The Martian they went back
to
get him.
A little different, right? They want to go back for him. This one, the guys are like, screw this guy.
So it's interesting. So the movie that is based on Resent, you think is going to win, as opposed to the feel good one where people go back for the person they've left.
So Trump beats Sanders?
I kind of think Revenant will win. I don't know. Yeah, sure. I think the Revenant will win. If it doesn't win, I think The Big Short is the next one that would win. Those are the two I think that will win. But
really?
I'm going with the Resident.
Now, why? Yeah. Why? Why not The Martian?
I thought The Martian was really great. It's a very popular movie, and I think it'll end up being like a movie that a lot of people agree is good in the Academy, but I don't think it has enough passion behind it to get a lot of first place votes. And, you know, that's the problem there. Like, most people will probably be like, oh, I like The Martian. It was my third favorite movie of the year or second favorite movie of the year. They're not going to be like The Revenant and The Big Short have really passionate supporters. And I think they will be like, that was the best movie of the year. That's the best movie I've seen forever.
Now, what do you do to get this sense of the horse race that's going on here? Do you talk to, like, voters, like Oscar voters?
You talk to voters.
Or do you just read Hollywood Reporter and Variety and then just regurgitate it?
You can read those things as well. You watch the shows. I mean,
how many voters did you talk to?
I didn't talk to none.
You talked to none. So wait, so where are you getting all this from?
From reading, Sam, and it's in the ether, you know? That's how it works. And the shows ether. Themselves, you watch the shows, you see how the buzz is building on these shows, on the award shows. That's why kind of like, you know, you watch Sylvester Stallone win at the Golden Globes, he gets a standing ovation for winning. That race was kind of up in the air. When you see Hollywood react that way to a winner, it's kind of like, okay, he's going to win.
Oh, my God. All right, so what did you think of these other movies? What? Go ahead, Kelly.
I'm just really wondering...
how did he get that job?
How he got the job? No.
Oh, all right.
That's in the song.
He sounds incredibly qualified. but...
Kelly's very nice.
Remember the song. It's in there.
I'm just wondering if you think that Leonardo DiCaprio will win for Best Actor or not. Because it will be like...
Absolutely.
You do? Okay.
100%.
I don't know why
but the buzz has been building around him, right? I mean, it's in the ether. Isn't there like a lot of excitement around him? And he's...
It would just be his fifth loss.
Right.
And so it would be... I don't know why I feel bad for this guy if he would lose a fifth time. He's got like an amazing
Well, I think Hollywood is very sympathetic to that, and there's a lot of buzz around him, so I think there's a good chance that he's going to finally do it, right? Am I right, Chris?
I mean, you're actually right. You know, that's fine.
I should be entertainmentweekly.com editor.
No, you shouldn't be entertainmentweekly.com, but you could fake your way through a conversation if you need to.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, like, I'm not clear on that. Like, if any of this, I mean, wait, let's just get back to Best Picture. What did you think of the Bridge of Spies?
A Bridge of Spies is okay. I thought it was a little slow at the, you know, in the middle parts. It's a really great, Mark Rylance is in it. You didn't see it, so
no.
I don't know why I'm telling you this, but Tom Hanks is in it, Mark Rylance, it's a Steven Spielberg movie.
Oh, forget it. I didn't realize it was Steven Spielberg. Let's move on. I mean, we already saw
Tom
that.
Hanks.
Tom, we already saw that. It was called Saving Private Ryan, right? Am I right?
Well, it wasn't. It's called Bridge of Spies. It's a different kind of thing, but sure.
Yeah, more or less. Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, lovely period piece about a young Irish woman coming to America and falling in love and then going back to Ireland and falling in love kind of again and then the decision she has to make.
Did the Weinstein brothers put this out?
Did who?
The Weinstein brothers or Weinstein? Are they still?
No, Fox Searchlight put that one out. It's a lovely movie. It's actually really
they don't win
good.
How do you say the...
The Weinstein brothers don't win anymore.
How do you say the female lead's first name?
Saoirse.
Saoirse, okay. I don't know. That's been on my mind for the past four or 5 days.
I don't even.
She did a fantastic job.
Okay, so, all right, it's going to be The Revenant. And then we already know who you think is going to win the actor in a leading role. In other words, the best actor, right?
Correct.
Leonardo DiCaprio. So do you think this is a sympathy vote or what?
No, I mean, I think he's actually awesome in it. It's a few things. He's actually quite a good performance. Very physical. Transformed himself. I don't know if you've been reading and stuff, but
did he gain weight? Isn't that like that's the
gained
way
some weight? He actually had a the whole movie shot outside. It was like freezing temperatures, so it was like very much in the element. The big struggle to make the movie. Beyond that, he's actually quite good in the movie. I think I actually think he's getting kind of nicked a little because he is Leonardo DiCaprio, and that people are just like, oh, forget it. He's like Leonardo DiCaprio. But if it was like a no name actor doing the same performance, you'd be like, this is the greatest actor we've ever seen kind of thing. So that's B. And then C, he's never won. He's been nominated 5 times. You know, he's kind of due, frankly.
Right.
And he keeps getting nominated. This is the year. And D, there's no one else in that category who really can win. Eddie Redmayne was nominated for The Danish Girl, but he won last year, so he's probably not going to win again. you know, Bryan Cranston for Trumbo maybe could have snuck in, but I think the nomination was really the reward. Matt Damon in The Martian, you know, and Michael Fassbender in Steve Jobs. Neither one of those guys are going to win.
Nobody cares about that. Now, let me ask you this. He was nominated in Best Actor. Did DiCaprio also get nominated in the acting in the cold? Isn't there an acting in cold weather nomination?
There's not another nomination.
Oh, they got rid of that one. Okay. All right. So actress. Best
I don't think
actress.
I got rid of that one. I don't know if it ever existed.
Maybe it was acting in the warmth, acting in real heat.
Maybe that's the glow.
Actress in a leading role, best actress.
Yes.
Are we over that now? Can we just say actor, female actor, or just actor? Like, or do we need why can't we just have best actor and just name two people? Or why is it? I don't understand. Why are we doing this? Why are we doing this, Chris?
Why are we doing what?
Actress.
Best actor and best actress? Because they've done it that way for 100 years.
Well, all right. So
that's not always a really solid answer for things, Chris.
I mean, that's the reason.
Okay. All right. So, actress.
Brie Larson.
If you insist.
Brie Larson.
Brie Larson? Never heard of her.
Yes.
Never heard of her. I didn't. Room. I've
Great
never
actress.
Even heard of this.
Room is a fabulous movie.
Why is there only five best actresses, but there's five in both. Okay. They're still doing it that way, too, right? Five, five?
Yep. Still five.
Okay. Good. Tell me, what was great about Brie's performance?
That movie's fabulous. It's based on a book by Emma Donoghue called Room. It's about a mother who's in captivity because this guy kidnapped her when she was a teenager. She has a child while in captivity.
Oh, this is a true story.
And raises this child. It's not a true story. It's based on, you know, true stories like this in the past. But it's not a true story. It's just a fictionalization of that kind of situation. And then the child escapes and the mother is saved. That's like not a spoiler because it's in the first 45 minutes of the movie. And then
wait a second.
Like
why is that not a spoiler if it's even in the first 45 minutes?
Because I mean, they marketed it as this thing. You know, they're going to escape.
Yeah, I read the book. It's sort of not a spoiler. Just
all right.
To
I like the book.
Describe.
The movie's awesome. It's really quite good. It might be my favorite of the Best Picture nominees, and her performance is really great. So I'm excited for her to win.
Okay. And now, do you interview these people? Do you sit down with them? Do you go into like one of those like press junkets?
I used to do more interviews. Now, because I'm more of an editor and manager, I don't get to.
You're above that. You're above that.
Not above that. It's not above that at all. But it's just something that I'm not doing.
Is it now?
And we have interviews with these great interviews with them on EW.com and video interviews of them on EW.com. So
now, when they want to land like
here.
A big fish, like do they dangle you out there? Like say, like oh. We're going to send Chris Rosen to interview Leonardo DiCaprio. We're not going to just send some lowly reporter.
No one is lowly. They send real strong reporters.
Okay. So you're not in any way an enticement if I was a big star?
I'm not an enticement.
Okay. I'm not terribly surprised to hear that, but I was open to the idea.
Right.
Okay. Directing The Big Short, Mad Max, Fury Road, The Revenant, Room, Spotlight, all some of the usual suspects, am I right?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of those are the Best Picture nominees, so of course you're going to see them nominated for Best Director. It's going to be Iñárritu, I think, is going to win. He won at the Directors Guild. He would be the first director to win back-to-back Oscars because he won last year for Birdman. I think he'd be the first back-to-back winner since the 1950s.
Now, is this, I didn't see The Revenant. Is that like a gimmick movie too, like Birdman? Which I thought was gimmicky.
Not as much. It sort of is. There's a lot of one-take shots like Birdman. He also, the reason it was such a long shoot was that they only shot it at, like, magic hour. So it's like they basically had an hour to shoot every day because it's all lit by natural light. So it's like looks really beautiful, but it was a huge pain to shoot because he only had, like, an hour a day, basically, of daylight.
So, in other words, DiCaprio was looking for a project where he wouldn't have to work too hard, but it would take him out of things for a while. And this
no,
guy
he worked
built
incredibly
this around.
Hard. I mean, like, if you watch the movie, that's the whole toll of his performance, that it's incredibly hard work.
I don't know. I mean, it sounds an hour a day. How hard could it be?
I mean, I don't, I'm not there. I don't know.
Well, you just said it was hard work. I don't understand how you're... Because his whole last movie with the Birdman thing, completely a gimmick, right? Like... In fact, I saw the whole thing when I watched The Wrestler. Okay, when you bring back the actor,
which
and you
I actually
have the
thought
actor.
Was a better movie.
Oh, yeah.
The Wrestler was actually a really good movie.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen it before, where you that kind of casting. Like, I'm going to bring somebody back.
Did you like The Wrestler, Chris?
Sort of have it parallel, the movie's going to parallel him. I mean, that type of thing.
I did like The Wrestler. It's a good movie.
Okay. So, we got actress in a leading role. What? We got that twice? Yeah, I don't know why we did that twice. All right, so supporting roles. I don't know. We didn't get the... All right, documentaries. Did you watch any of the documentaries?
No. We did. We didn't do the supporting roles. Do you want to go back and do them?
I mean, I don't have the female list, and I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you who's going to win, because I know it.
Sylvester Stallone is going to win in the male, because I see that down
right
here. And then in the female...
And then Alicia Vikander for the Danish Girl.
I don't even know who she is.
Young, up-and-coming actress, very big star, was in a bunch of stuff last year.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, you didn't watch any of the documentaries? Do you not care at all about the documentaries?
I'm still catching up on everything. I got a few days left, so I'll make sure to watch them all before Sunday.
What have you been doing the whole year?
Just busy working,
Which ones of the documentaries have you watched?
Amy is going to win.
Which one have you watched?
None. Amy is going to win.
You haven't watched any? Why do you hate documentaries so much, Chris?
I don't hate documentaries. I like documentaries. It's just there's a lot of movies. It's hard. You can't see everything.
Look. We used to make great documentaries, okay? It's true. Now the documentaries, they come out, they're a mess.
Wait,
they're
Amy
pathetic.
Winehouse's documentary is up?
Right, Chris?
Is that what you're saying?
Gonna win.
Chris,
I thought
that
was absolutely fantastic. See, you can't even say anything anymore without sounding like Trump. But I thought that was a tremendous Amy Winehouse's film.
No, look, the Amy documentary was great. But in general, they're a mess. Isn't that what you're trying to say, Chris? That documentaries used to be great, and now they're kind of a mess generally? And that's why you don't watch them?
No, I wouldn't say that. I just don't watch them.
All right. Well, I guess Entertainment Weekly, we know what's going on over there.
A lot of great stuff. A lot of good coverage. EW.com.
EW.com, and we can go there, and there's a place where we can comment. They have comments there?
Yeah, of course, on articles.
All right. Are you not writing, or are you just managing these days?
I'm writing when needed.
What kind of stuff? What was the last couple of pieces?
All hands on deck type of vibe, and you make sure you get the stuff done.
Are you doing anything like you did with Lost? Remember you used to do that Lost thing?
Yeah, remember I used to recap Lost? No, not really. But I am watching Vinyl. You watching that show? It's great.
No.
On HBO?
No, I've not seen that.
It's so good.
It's really
good. Do you still get HBO?
Do I still get HBO?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I probably get it. I get it. HBO Now, or whatever it is. Go. HBO Go.
Yeah, you should check it out. Good.
Vinyl, what else? What other TV show? Give me two other TV shows we should watch.
I'm big into Girls.
Okay. Okay. It's a little bit late for that, but I mean, that's sort of over, isn't it?
No, not really.
Okay.
And I'm really into The People versus OJ. That show's great. You should really check it out.
What about American Crime?
No, I've heard that's great, though.
Yeah.
So OJ and Girls.
And Vinyl.
What about Nicked? Do you ever see that?
No, which is that?
Nicked? You never seen Nicked?
With Clive Owen?
Yeah.
That's The Nick.
The Nick.
Have you ever seen it?
I've seen it. I just don't watch the opening credits.
Oh, well, that's good. It's all you need to see, I guess.
Okay.
Stallone for Best Supporting Actor, Vikander for Best Supporting Actress, Amy for Best Documentary.
And so what, do you have like a betting pool at work? Do you guys bet on this?
No, we do have a pool actually, yeah, but no, obviously,
So do you have a big party? Like is there a big Oscar party? EW Oscar party?
No, I mean, we're going to have a war room here at the office.
A war room?
Yeah, we come in, got to cover it.
Wait, what do you mean a war room, though? Like, who's going to be, are people going to be attacking EW during this thing?
No, it's like, a war room.
Wasn't the war room, like, even the political war room, which was, of course, not a real war room, that was for them to deal with incoming attacks. Well, who's are you guys going to be attacked?
It means that everyone has to work around.
So we're going to do coverage.
So
we're going to do coverage.
Cover it.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. But
they're
no,
not going to punch
no party?
Each other.
Why no party?
Because they have a to work.
Well, I mean, that would be good to raise your exposure. People don't. People got to hear about this EW.
Everyone's heard about it. It's a huge brand.
I just, this is like the, like almost like, I think the second time I've heard of it.
That's a complete lie. I know for a fact it's a lie.
Chris Rosen, it has been a pleasure, buddy. And we're definitely going to watch
as usual.
The Nick. And what was
I will it? Watch Nick. I'll make sure to watch Nick.
You should check out The Sopranos. I hear it's very good.
You know what? That show is worth rewatching.
It is worth rewatching.
That is very much
worth rewatching. That and Battlestar Galactica.
I was bummed out by Man in the High Castle.
Oh,
I tried that over the break.
Yeah, that was beige.
That was not what I wanted it to be.
All right, Chris. Been doing a lot of radio?
What's that?
Have you been doing a lot of radio?
I've been doing some stuff, yeah, you know. Obviously, I haven't locked it. I still got my fastball. You still have a segment right here.
Yeah, you still got it. All right, well, we're going to do this again when the Golden Globes come
2017,
up.
I'm ready for it.
All right, buddy. Thanks so much. Chris
See
Rosen.
You then.
Chris Rosen, everybody. Chris Rosen. Wow. People are really kissing up to EW with that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to listen to the Jimmy Reefer cake. We'll probably do a Freebie Friday today. Yeah? Why not?
Yeah, I mean, look.
Because I can only go till 1:45 today.
The fun half used to be something.
It used to
it's
mean something.
True.
No, we haven't done a Freebie Friday in a while. A couple of weeks.
Let me tell you something. You're going to have so many Freebie Fridays.
So many Freebie.
It's going to make your head spin.
All right, but Jimmy Reefer Cake has a song, is my understanding. What is the name of the song?
The new Jim Crow, Reefer Madness Part 2.
Oh, all right. Let's hear it.
Well, for marijuana possession, you know, a drug less harmful, less addictive than alcohol or tobacco, and at least, if not more prevalent in middle-class white communities and on college campuses, as it is in the hood.
Yeah, that's right.
What you gotta say?
What you gotta say
about reefer?
Not the same. Don't you know? It's the new Jim Crow.
I like smoking reefers.
Yeah, you do.
I think reefer's good. No one's got a problem with smoking reefers in my neighborhood. It's cool. No matter what you do, it's reefer madness. Reefer madness for you.
Freedom isn't to do whatever you want to do. It's to do what you
it's
ought
new
to do.
Jim Crow.
They are the anti-science ones.
Don't
we are the ones who stand for science.
Oh, you know the sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Problem with the government messing with my liberty. Oh, it's true. I know no matter what you do, it's reefer madness.
Oh, reefer madness for
madness.
You.
Michelle Alexander, a righteous author.
This is you, Jim Crow.
Jim Crow, a fantastic read. Speaking truth to power, talk about legal weed. Probably doesn't even smoke it, but she knows it's what we need. Me, it's a great embarrassment to this nation that we could lead the entire world in the rate of incarceration. I'm catching feelings of anger and sadness.
It's a new Jim Crow.
I can sum it up in two words, man. Reefer madness.
Well, for marijuana possession. So a drug less harmful, less addictive than alcohol or tobacco, and at least, if not more prevalent, middle-class white communities and on college campuses, as it is in the hood. By raising this drug war almost exclusively in the hood, we've created a situation. nation today where there's more African-American adults in correctional control in prison or jail on probation or parole than were enslaved in 1850, a decade before the Civil War began. The scale of this system of mass incarceration is just astonishing, and yet, you know, we don't hear much about it.
Hey, I like the sentiment. I like the sentiment.
There might be a few awkward analogies, but it was
not
good,
necessarily good. The best Jimmy Reefer Cake song, but I certainly appreciated the sentiment. You know, it's a little bit. It's not my style of music per se. but beautiful piano playing, and. Let's go.
I like the style of music.
I like the percussion.
I mean, I guess I...
Sure,
I guess,
it was great. The analogy, pretty offensive.
A little iffy there.
A little bit.
That was a rough run.
But week in, week out, Jimmy Reefer Cake delivers.
I'm looking forward. I don't obviously control Jimmy's creative process, but I really am looking forward to his take on the Christie Trump.
Yes.
Endorsement. That's going to be a powerful cake.
Chris
song.
Christie has endorsed Donald Trump. Is that right?
It is confirmed. Why did he endorse a moderate? I thought he was a moderate.
just
contemplate all of these ludicrous. Morning Joe is having an orgasm right now.
I really wonder what this is about. I mean, it's sort of fascinating. And
I have some legal documents on you that you wouldn't want released. Wouldn't be fantastic. It wouldn't be tremendous.
It is really surprising.
He might just be, maybe it's, you know, someone tweeted at me that it's an FU to the party. I mean, he obviously did have his campaign was a mess. It was an embarrassment. It was frankly pathetic. And maybe he just
I guess he
himself,
genuinely does not like Rubio. He doesn't like
his
Cruz.
Whole, I was looking at it, a major part of the endorsement was a sustained attack on Marco Rubio. There is clearly some personal animosity there. Because even the things he says that are true, like obviously Marco Rubio is not equipped to be president. Obviously, Marco Rubio is totally unable to handle himself. It's all true, but like, you can't make an argument like that while you're standing on stage next to Donald Trump. So for Chris Christie,
I wonder if Scarborough thinks he's going to be Trump's VP and said to Christie, endorse him. I don't know. I mean, that seems unlikely. But
I also think it's just temperamental. You know, you see yourself in other people, and to Christie's credit, because he could have been resentful, like, hey, the whole just be a total belligerent asshole thing, that was sort of my deal and you stole it from me. But he was big enough to say, you know what, you're 3.0.
I think if you read
you
enough
took it
Jane,
from analog to digital.
If you read enough Jane Goodall, when the big ape slaps down the second biggest ape, the second biggest ape shows proper respect and does this thing.
And then it's like, how can I be in service of you to destroy the, as an example, short ape?
You can see this in Planet of the Apes, actually. They also show that dynamic. Mike Frumpa, Italy had Berlusconi. What makes you think Americans are any better than Italians? As someone intimately involved in Pennsylvania politics, Trump could definitely win here. Just spend 6 months knocking doors here and tell me Trump can't win. You know, they say about Pennsylvania, like east of or west of Philadelphia, right? It's
Alabama.
You've got Philly and Pittsburgh and then Alabama in between, I think is what.
Yes.
But Kelly didn't like that.
No, I mean, I agree. Well,
to practice your facial expressions.
Well, I did a nodding of the head gesture of yes.
No, you did.
Well, it was like, I'm not happy that it's Alabama in between.
Okay.
It's not exactly
Look,
Alabama.
Pennsylvania's a mess,
but,
okay?
You know,
it's true.
It's more conservative.
Philly's not a real city.
It's really conservative.
Pittsburgh is a total disaster.
Well, I mean, it's hard not to be conservative if you're Amish.
Look.
You can't.
Look,
well,
I love the
Amish
people.
Pretty conservative lifestyle.
That's true.
I don't think the Amish vote.
Yeah, I don't know.
Did
that's
the Amish even vote, though?
I'm not sure.
I don't
that's
think
what
the Amish
people
vote.
Mean. Because I don't think there's a lot of Amish in Alabama either. So I'm not sure that's what they
Where
mean.
Where the wheelbarrow at?
No.
I don't want no tractor.
We got the Trump Christie audio.
Oh, well, hold on. The Trump Christie. Okay, hold on 1 second. All right, so here is Chris Christie endorsing Donald Trump. Was Donald Trump there with him? No. Yeah. Really? Yes, they were together?
Right next to him.
Let's hear this.
This is like the level of obnoxiousness could break the space-time continuum on that stage.
And so I am thrilled to be here this morning to lend my support.
And he was very quick. He wanted to make this very quick. He wanted to get off the stage quick. Here it is.
And so I am thrilled to be here this morning to lend my support.
Pause it. Wait a second. Is Chris Christie out of the race? Because I don't remember us ever playing the audio from his announcement that he was out of the race. Oh, that's right. He was so cowardly that he only just dropped a comment on Facebook and said it. All right, I'm sorry. My mistake. Yeah, on Facebook. On Facebook. Put it back to the beginning. Here we go.
And so I am thrilled to be here this morning to lend my support. I will lend my support between now and November in every way that I can for Donald to help to make this campaign an even better campaign than it's already been, and then to help him do whatever
Pause
he
it.
Needs.
In other words, Donald needs the George Washington Bridge shut down because he's stuck in traffic on the New York side, doesn't want people filtering in on the Henry Hudson Highway. I imagine that's what he's talking about.
And then to help him do whatever he needs to do to help to make the country everything that we want it to be for our children and grandchildren.
There you go. Yes. This is hilarious. Hilarious. This might actually get me to tune in to Morning Joe. Maybe that's why he did it in the afternoon on a Friday, so that it would, you know, they'd have the whole weekend to prepare. Unbelievable. This is the straight talking Chris Christie. Responsible, moderate, tough talking. Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, we have a problem in this country. That is where, well, one of the things that struck me about the debate last night was how much faith the Republican Party now seems to have in the IRS, that they would question whether or not Trump is actually being audited. Like, why would they audit Donald Trump? Why? I mean, you've never seen such fealty to the IRS than you saw last night on that debate stage. But here is the problem, ladies and gentlemen. Everyone also knows that the IRS only audits Christians. In fact, that's their basis for deciding whether or not they're going to audit, is how Christian you are. And we know this because Donald Trump is being audited, and he is a well-known pious Christian. Let's hear him explain this to Chris Cuomo.
They came at you tonight about something that's in the news right now that really is at your control, which is the tax returns. Yeah. Mitt Romney, during the debate, was bringing it up again. You could show him in a second if you want to. Why is Trump delaying?
Well,
what do you say?
Let me explain about Mitt. You know, Mitt is a guy who was a horrible candidate. He lost a race that should have been won, and it should have been won easily. And I don't know what happened. He, like, disappeared the last 2 months. But when Mitt gave his tax returns, just so you understand, it was about 6 months from now in 2012. It was 2012. It was exactly September 21st. And that's when he gave his tax return. We're in a different world. So, you know, Mitt is just trying to remain relevant. Nobody's talking to him much anymore. He got some publicity today. But the one problem I have is that I'm always audited by the IRS, which I think is very unfair. I don't know, maybe because of religion, maybe because of something else, maybe because I'm doing this, although this is just recently.
What do you mean religion?
Well, maybe because of the fact that I'm a strong Christian and I feel strongly about it, and maybe there's a bias.
You think you get audited for being a strong Christian?
You see what's happened. I mean, you have many religious groups that are complaining about that. They've been complaining about it for a long time.
So but I've had the many, ones that aren't audited. It just seems like many, an easy answer for you.
No, I can't do that. I can't do that. We have to put it together in a very unified way. They all relate to each other. I don't know if you saw the picture I have, where I have almost 1,000 pages.
Big stack of paper.
The ones from previous relate to the ones later, and it doesn't make sense unless they're all related.
You know what you...
They keep auditing him because he's Christian. He's so Christian.
I mean, look. The IRS always investigates people. Look, I'm quite confident and robust about my Muslim faith. People know that I'm a fantastic Muslim. They know that I'm great at Islam, and they keep auditing me. It's true. That's what the great Satan does.
Now, what's amazing to me is that I saw Fox News. Three, it was like Rich Lowry, some other dude, and that Ben Shapiro guy. They all laughed when Donald Trump said, they're auditing me because I'm a Christian. But of course, they have been pretending that this dynamic exists, that Christians are oppressed in America, that the IRS is going... This is all just all of their own stuff being thrown back in their face. And the funny thing is, they all laughed, but not one of them would actually say, that's the most ludicrous thing I've ever heard. The IRS doesn't do that. Because they can't say that. They're all thinking it. They're thinking it so much that it actually made them laugh out loud. But they can't say that. Because, of course, they would lose one of their key talking points, you know, when it's not an election time. Just fascinating. It's just...
He's blowing up the whole game. It's
But, you know, they'll put it all back together. After he loses the general, assuming he loses the general...
That's a big assumption.
There's a...
It's true. No, I mean, and then it will be because he's too liberal. And also, can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
The one thing in Chris Christie's entire career that I thought you had to give him genuine credit for was several years ago, he nominated a Muslim attorney to, I believe it was a state judgeship. The whole right-wing Tea Party apparatus, you know, this guy is a Muslim Brotherhood, all the craziness, all of the anti-Islamic bigotry. And Chris Christie not only went on a rant against Islamophobia and in defense of this guy, he even explained, yeah, this guy defended terrorism suspects and advised people after September 11th because we rounded a lot of people up, not all of whom were necessarily involved in terrorism, obviously, and because he was a defense attorney and that's his job.
Yep.
That was the one thing you had to say, okay, for even though Chris Christie is most likely a criminal, even though he's a blowhard and a jerk and a tool of the plutocracy and one of the worst people ever, you got to give him that. And he just eliminated that, the one thing you could give him, by endorsing the most bigoted against Muslims candidate in the Republican field when they all are bigoted against Muslims,
yeah,
in fact.
I mean, I have to say, I've always thought he's just a scummiest of the scumbags.
I know, and he is, but you had to give him that. At least I gave him that one thing, it's gone.
He saw the political efficacy of that. He's just it was Craven. It just it just happened to be Craven. In a way that worked out well.
He was Craven.
Yeah, Craven.
I'm thinking one of our IMers.
You'll win.
Just the way you say it.
A-square. Sam, the ape with the smaller apes waiting for the leader to be elected metaphor is so apropos and hilarious. You and Mike had me in stitches last night. Thanks for helping us get through this crazy political season. Literally, as I finish IMing you in Grand Central Station, I hear one MTA worker tell another, have no fear, Trump is on his way. Sounded tongue-in-cheek, I hope. That's the thing. Is like the level of everywhere I go, I have people telling me, this is the most entertaining, like, it's fun to watch this guy.
So Matt and I were back, we were in a car last night, going back to our places, and we're talking about it, and the dude driving the cab had a very slight Pakistani accent, and he looks at us, and he's like, oh, so you're ready for Trump? And we're like, well, not exactly, but he's kind of good for business, and he looks at us, and he goes, yeah, yeah, he's going to be great. And then he starts laughing. it's not just us.
It's everyone.
It was like he was a listener because he slid into Trumpisms so smoothly.
it really is so just horribly disturbing. All right, let's go through these. AJS, can't do all of this, AJS. This discussion with Cliffy about Trump's wall comments are so important, and Trump's run is such a total service to the left. It reveals all of conservative is basically anathema to policy because the main purpose of conservatives is roll back collective action through government. Proves that corporate media is totally incapable of revealing this because they can't possibly interrogate these candidates. This movement and this ideology, just that entire question from Blitzer to Trump about Israel was so revelatory. The ideology was revealed and the question was staggeringly offensive, along with the fact that Blitzer's a former AIPAC lobbyist. It's all just crazy, but I think it helps the left. I hope Trump is also the only candidate to bring up the carrier plant closing. I think he really could pick up Iowa and Pennsylvania. Op-ed writer, it's not the million he borrowed, it's the $200 million he inherited. Cecil, Trump vodka, Trump vodka. Carl Hungus, so extremely frustrating that the Republicans don't have to explain how their policies will actually get enacted. But Chris Matthews all but shook Bernie Sanders by the lapels last night and demanded an explanation of how his policies would get passed by the House and Senate. Hillary also just gets a pass. Yeah, I think that line of questioning is ridiculous. I personally mean,
circular and relentless. But Bernie Sanders did a really good job. And then what was funny, though, about the whole thing is that Matthews showed, like, because Matthews is really smart in some ways, and he should be with us, because Bernie Sanders would go back into his description of the crisis. And actually, Chris Matthews, who's Mr. Conservative Democrat, was like, normatively, those are his words, like, normatively, I agree with you. You're right.
Right.
We need to do X, Y, and Z. But then he refused to even engage in a theoretical conversation about how that might happen. So his position is, this all needs to happen, but it never will.
Right. It can't.
Yeah.
Attorney Andrew, have we seen any response from Hillary to the BLM interruption? Yes. Yes, she has said that she regrets those comments. She should have never used those words in the original statement. Do we have that?
No.
No. Okay. Cone, Vanderlyn, Sam, it's weird that Bernie, who's relying heavily on Obama's 08 playbook, seems to be doing really well in states that Hillary won in 08. What is up with that? Is that purely the black vote? I think that she is peeling off. Well, first off, Hillary was the non, I mean, it depends on your perspective. Hillary was the non-black candidate in 08 after you get past Edwards, I guess, to a certain extent, although maybe that's not really the case. I'm not sure exactly what it is. He's resonating, I think, with just the white working class in the party. And but he's got to do more. Toilet sniffer. So I got an idea. Let's spend all of our time telling those seduced by Trump that they're idiots. Let's laugh our asses off making them. All right. I'm not going to spend my whole time reading this because those idiots are not watching the show. Only Doug. And he doesn't have a problem with it. I've said from the very beginning, if I was a Republican, I would definitely vote for the president.
I felt very real disrespected. It's just like the thought experiment thing, man.
Shank Steele. Christie endorsed Trump. He wants to be his running mate, I bet.
No, he wants to be attorney general.
Right. Bertolt Met. Holy crap. Christie's endorsing Trumpman. Birdman was overrated and Boyhood should have won the Oscar. Yes.
I like Birdman.
I like Birdman.
Boo.
Y'all fellas know Jerry Seinfeld.
Boyhood was long.
All right. We got more Christie endorses long Trump. Movie. Carl Sagan. Can't listen live today. Did you comment on the town hall with Chris Matthews berating Sanders? We just did. Christie, yes. Book recommendation, The People's Pension, Struggle to Defend Social Security Since Reagan by Eric Larson, or as I call it, How a BJ Saved Social Security. Will you check that out? The Struggle to Defend Social Security Since
yes.
Reagan.
Someone sent that to me, too.
Robert in New Orleans. In response to Miss Williams protesting Hillary Clinton, what needs to happen now is young black people need to jam her events. Some actively protest like Miss Williams and some remain silent. People need to raise funds for those to pay their way in. Does she not let black youth in? Does she try? Either option looks bad for her. Do you agree? I mean, I think, you know, look, what that protester did is raising a lot of issues that are getting examined now. And I think it's very healthy. I mean, strategically, I think anything you can do to keep this in the forefront. And remember, Bernie voted for that bill, too. It's a problem. Slonoman. Kelly, what do you... I don't even know what that means. What do you say you do? Walt. Christie endorsed... Oh, yeah. Got that. Ivana. Hi, Kelly. I feel people are getting a bit rough on you from your comments from yesterday. I am a Bernie supporter, not a fan of Hillary, but you should be able to express your opinion, even if it's the unpopular one. Getting different points of view is a healthy thing to have in any conversation. Boom.
Thank you.
Jay Chavone. Rosen is really going to be out of sorts next year when most of the nominees are of African descent. He may just need a war room then. Is Christie seeking a presidential pardon? Angelo Scantino, that's what Kelly was thinking. Christie, yes, wants to be VP to void an indictment. Boyhood
that
was
would
overrated.
Really be a amplifying pick.
Communist dog, save the date, June 6th, launch a Randy Rhodes independent podcast. Suck it, Clear Channel. Spazza, have you ever looked into getting Steve Novella from The Skeptic's Guide to the Universe to talk about what's important to discuss about GMOs from a science point of view?
Boring.
Yeah, I've contemplated. Love the show, especially Matt with those point audios. For anyone looking for a resource, start learning about policies or facts. Check out Robert Rice's site. We're going to get him on.
Definitely.
Censor sweep. Movie suggestion. If you want a child-friendly animated movie, Song of the Sea, 2014. Doug. Chris Rock is going to rip apart white people at the Oscars. They deserve it for not recognizing the color of one's skin is more important than the contents of one's acting ability. Oh, Doug, you're wonderful. Doug FM Jamil, how many times have Sam, have you been audited by the IRS? What are you hiding? I have not been audited by the IRS.
We're Muslims. We don't get audited.
That's right.
Obama's America, brah.
But you know what, Doug? I am all in favor of putting more people in the IRS so that more people can get audited. Mr. Stooks, huge day for Chris Christie. Today is endorsing both Donald Trump and also two, but maybe three large Frosties from Wendy's. Kem Champion, I know that he's putting the cart way before the horse, but you talked about running mates with Cliff. I've been telling people for 6 months that if Bernie gets the nomination, he should tap Hilda Solis, former member of the Congressional Caucus.
Or Kamala Harris.
Bingo Mosquito. Oh, I remember that day you found out Chris Rosen was not a film critic. Betsy Ross, he's been my friend for many years. He's been a spectacular governor, said Mr. Trump, standing with Christie. Unbelievable. President McCuffin, there's no fighting in the war room. I love Sam Cedar. Interviewing,
is that Dr. Strangelove?
Yes. Chris Rosen is like Trump destroying Rubio. Mighty Max. Don't forget your predictions for the South Carolina primary. Since it's expected to be a comfortable win for Hillary, try to predict the size of the point differential. Hillary by 12.
Hillary by 14.
Hillary by 16.
That's just a...
Oh, dude,
Hillary by 17?
I just added another two right there.
I think we're going in 2-point increments, though. 18.
Okay.
Yeah.
Price is Right rules.
DX Full. Miss getting the push notification for your debate coverage. Our push notification thing is broken. It is.
No, it's true. It's a disaster.
Savannah, dude, how likely do you think a Sarah Palin run in 2020 is? I would put it around 0%. Sorry, Michael, I have to say, fruit salad, that your Trump is among your weakest impressions. Swingscape. Twitter actively campaigning for Clinton, which censored which Hillary and released the transcripts to hashtags.
What?
I'm all checking that. Christie just endorsed Trump. Methadone. Unconscionable that Hillary is against legalization and pro-death penalty. Funk Walrus. Christie is pissed at Rubio because he wished he could sweat that much. Please clap. Jimmy Reefer Cake. When Kelly say that the analogy in the new Jim Crow is offensive, just understanding this is Michelle Alexander talking. Get her on the show again. She's for Bernie.
Actually, to be clear, she hasn't formally endorsed Bernie. She's been clear to do not support Hillary. But I think it's important to be clear about what she said.
Shloop. Hey, Michael, did you like... I got to go soon. How Sargon totally owned you by pointing out your white... Boom, mic drop. You're such a regressive. Everyone thinks you're in a cult. It's true. It's true.
I thought that Sargon made a fantastic point, but I got to tease. Sargon and I am in communication with Sargon to set up a debate.
How did you do that? Did you communicate with the other world?
There was a secret ring and the regressive left hashtag that I needed to retrieve and then activate.
My understanding is that you must travel first to drool before you can talk to Sargon. Is this correct?
This is correct. Yeah,
I never heard of this guy.
Did you roll a number 5 on your 7-sided die and get special powers that allow you to have a quiver and the magic ring?
I can't keep up.
Sargon.
Militant apathy. I can't wait for him to go, to be honest, it is actually a term from the, I can't even
finish. I see that you have not read Lord of the Rings fan fiction. One would dare say you have very little credibility on Islam.
Milton Apathy. Listen to the rest of the show from yesterday. I actually agree with Kelly about Clinton and BLM. I have very little respect for her husband's policy from the 90s, and I remember when she pulled that shit on Sister Soldier, but I get what she was saying. Nurse Stanley. Kelly, more conservative is how Allentown works. People are actively talking about Trump being a good idea at my job. I'm maybe 50 minutes outside of Philly, and I've heard other nurses say this. These people have degrees and talk about Trump as viable. Yeesh. Beanbag. Let me get this straight. Supporters of Bernie say sexist things, so-called Bernie bros, and somehow Bernie is responsible for what other people say. Hillary Clinton says something herself and she's not responsible. What am I missing?
Exactly.
Rick Garner.
She took responsibility.
I honestly, let me just run through these. Some of these recent IMs about not voting for Hillary have bothered me. Vote for Bernie in the primary, but if Hillary wins, Bernie voters must vote for Hillary, of course. Neff, Christie endorses Trump. Promised either VP spot or Secretary of Transportation. Pinochet is God. Kelly needs to be more nuanced. That doesn't mean being contrarian for the sake of being contrarian. I don't know.
People need to stop trying to telegraph the content of what people say on the show.
Yeah, and let's let us edit it. How about that? Or be the editorial control. Yeah,
Lone Star it's okay. Liberal. Hey, gotta reiterate my call to Michaels, get some help. His Trump-like behavior could be an early warning of a sign of serial mental illness.
It's true. It's true. It's a fantastic
We should have done like an IQ test before and after this whole thing.
It's steadily degrading.
or like a, just like an MRA or like a brain scan.
I mean, look.
SBG. Sam, I was listening.
An MRI would be better than an MRA.
Yeah.
MRI.
I'm a slightly MRI. Less of a genius than
Sam,
I was.
Sam, I was listening to your debate coverage last night. It was unfair to play that Cuomo-Trump interview. I laughed so hard that my chest hurt and my face covered in tears. Joseph Ballin, Trump reminds me a lot of Ron Paul during the 2012 GOP debates. Like Ron Paul, he's a racist. Yes, Cuban B. I'm sorry, I can't read all of it. It's not just the IRS that's singling out Christian for audits. I'm auditing only Christians right now, and I love it. MR fan. Hey, guys, if the Republican Party picks Rubio, would Trump run third party? I don't know.
No, not unless it's in a brokered convention, then I'm sure he would do something. If he actually gets the nomination stolen from him.
All right, I can't. I don't have time. Obama kept us safe. I thought it was great. I thought it was exciting. I thought it was great. To go, Sargon of Arcot, dost thou even hoist? Redgren, Sam, you guys totally missed the leftovers. Best show on TV. Beach Break. Trump would fall into the orangutan category. You've mixed up your primates. Amy Fair. Do you think they were laughing because Trump said he was a Christian? Not that Christians get audited. I think that was part of it. But, I mean, they can't actually argue with that because they can't talk about how ridiculous the whole concept is. Hugo Ball, happy weekend. And Ben Shapiro ostensibly is a Jew, right? I mean, so you wouldn't want to claim that he's not going to get audited. Happy weekend, Majority Land Gang. Sam, would you consider bringing wrestling expert Matt Bender on to discuss Trump's bouts with Vince McMahon? That would be funny. Christie is term limited. I think he wants Donald to be a sugar daddy. I think there's something to that. The missing link. We're working for a Working Family Party national turnout this weekend. The link is the Working Families Party phone bank finder. We'll link to that if you want on majority.fm. Once I'd like to see a crowd not cheer a protester being removed. Original Fat Jay, did you guys happen to catch this weekend's episode of Blackfish? I was pleasantly surprised to see Ta-Nehisi Coates in his book prominently featured in this well-written sitcom. Oh, wow.
I mean Black-ish.
Black-ish, okay.
I said Blackfish.
Well, it was written that way.
Oh. Okay.
Check out the animated man who planted trees. Very cool message, says BB. Karl Marx, can you make the Marco Rubio lip smack extravaganza available for download? I don't know if we feel that we could get sued.
I'll tweet it out.
Someone said it's best. Trump's political chemotherapy in Washington is the disease. Oy. Doesn't matter if the body dies as a result. Oy. Chris Burdick, for a second it sounded like child-friendly movie pick was going to Song of the South. AJ Chicago, I love Michael's Trump impression. Christo, it's called Pensatucky. I grew up right in the middle of it. And the final I am of the week. Sargon? Do you guys mean Sauron? All right, folks. See you on Monday.
It might take all the strength I got to get to where I want, but I know somehow I'm gonna get there. I wasn't looking when I just got caught between the truth and the light bulb. But finding out won't make me feel any better. Yeah, I know. Choices made for the option where you don't get paid, for the road that bends before it finally breaks you. I guess somehow I lost my drive.